From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, welcome everyone to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Tuesday edition, President Donald Trump announced Sunday that the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen would be leaving her role in the administration. So who is the best replacement to help secure the border? I'll talk with Congressman Ben Klein of Virginia, a member of the House Judiciary Committee, in just a moment. And the sanctity of life issue remains at the forefront of the policy debate on Capitol Hill. Congressman Brad Winstrup of Ohio joins me with an update on the discharge petition for the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. It needs 218 signatures of the members to circumvent Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who is refusing to bring the bill to the floor. Also on the other side of the Capitol today, the Senate held a hearing on another life measure, the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act.
That's when she's standing up for the least among us. We know that an unborn child at the 20th week of pregnancy can feel pain. In fact, anesthesia is administered directly to the unborn child in second trimester fetal surgery.
That was South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, the author of the bill. FRC's Petrina Mosley was there and spoke at a press conference alongside the senator. She joins me later here on Washington Watch. Also, I plan to take your phone calls a little bit later, so don't go anywhere. And also check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Lots of resources there for you, including your invitation to join the End Birthday Abortion Campaign. We need you to join with us to send a very strong message to Speaker Nancy Pelosi that we want to end infanticide in America. Find out how you can be a part of that. Go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, as I mentioned, President Donald Trump announced Sunday that Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen would be leaving her role in the Trump administration. The departure comes as the Department of Immigration officials have claimed that an influx of migrants attempting to come into the United States has pushed their system to a breaking point, leading President Trump to declare a national emergency and threaten to shut down the southern border earlier this month. While the president said the Customs and Border Protection Commissioner, Kevin McLeon, will fill Kirstjen's role as an acting capacity. A number of names are being floated for the agency's permanent replacement. Here to talk about the best person for the job of Secretary of Department of Homeland Security is Congressman Ben Klein, who represents the 6th District of Virginia and serves on the House Judiciary Committee, as well as the House Education and Labor Committee. Congressman Klein, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you, and thank you for all you do, highlighting these important issues for the American people.
Well, thank you. This is obviously a big issue to the president, securing the border. You know, given the challenges that Secretary Nielsen has had in her role, and it's a tough job. I mean, there's no question about it. But from your perspective, Congressman Klein, who do you think would be best that's in the mix right now that could, in fact, work with the president and secure the border?
Well, we need someone who recognizes that we do have a border emergency. There is a crisis at the border of humanitarian nature, of a drug nature, of a criminal nature, human trafficking, sex trafficking, violence against our men in uniform. We need action, and we need it now. So someone who can get the job done, but also work within the rule of law to make sure that we abide by the statutes, work to change policy. And so someone who has that legal background, I think that working in Virginia for as long as I have in the state legislature and now in Congress, that our former Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli would do a fantastic job in that role and would fulfill both of those goals. He would take action to secure the border, but also adhere to the rule of law.
Well, Ken has been a guest on the program here many times. I know Ken well. He ran for governor there in Virginia as well after serving as attorney general. And I do know for a fact that he is under consideration by the president. And I think he is a no-nonsense guy. He's tough. He does know the law. I would say this, when you look at Secretary Nielsen, I mean, I don't know her personally. I've been a couple meetings with her. I know some of the people working on her team, her close team. She's a no-nonsense person as well. This is a tough issue, and whoever takes on this role is going to have their hands full on the border. And then, Congressman Klein, they got to deal with Congress, and that's where a lot of the challenges come from.
Well, and we have too many of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle who are openly pursuing an open borders policy. They aren't even hiding it anymore. They want people streaming across the border, and they actually consider the fact that families are coming to be something that we should encourage. And that's just terrifying, because not only do you have small children who are being put at risk, but you also have women who are at a 30% chance of being sexually assaulted through these caravans that are coming up. And it requires action. It requires someone who is going to be able to innovate and come up with policies like idea that you can seek asylum in your home country. Now, that was thrown out by the courts recently, but it hopefully will be on appeal, and hopefully will be allowed, because the more that we can encourage people to stay in their home country right. and not pursue these trips, the better off we'll be.
Right. There's no question about that. And that's where we were discussing this yesterday with what's happening in Venezuela. Of course, we've got issues in Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, where, you know, our foreign policy plays a role in securing our border as well, because we want to try to limit or reduce the demand for people wanting to come to this country, because these countries to our south are imploding.
Absolutely, they are. And but we also have to, at the same time, have a legitimate reason for asylum. Just because you're coming from a poor country is not reason to seek asylum in the
right.
United States.
Right.
Every country is poorer than the United States.
Right.
And so we have to tell people, unless you're being persecuted as a religious or an ethnic minority, or there is some kind of gang warfare going on in your country that is putting you specifically at risk of death, that asylum is not the answer. And so we need someone who's going to adhere to the rule of law, reform our asylum procedures, and secure the border, so that we can make sure that this type of emergency is not occurring in the future.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. Congressman Ben Klein of Virginia, my guest, discussing the president's the choice that's before the president now, or the decision he's going to have to make about a new secretary for Homeland Security. When you look at, you mentioned Ken Cuccinelli. We were talking about Ken earlier. He is one of the names that's being considered by the president, and he has a long record on being a strong law enforcer as the chief law enforcement officer in Virginia, as the attorney general. But he's also weighed in nationally. You know, he supported, if I recall, he signed on to an amicus brief which supported the Arizona immigration law that was, you know, that the liberals were opposed to a few years back. And so he's spoken out on this, been very clear, which could, I would think, Congressman, put him in good stead with the president. And I think that whoever the president picks, given how tough the job's going to be, they're going to have to walk in lockstep with the president.
Well, sure. Obviously, this person, this cabinet member, is going to be sitting near the president, working to implement his policies as it relates to border security. And the president has said he wants someone tough in that role. Nielsen did a great job of trying to implement that policy for the president. And the next person is going to have to be equally tough, because the Democrats aren't pulling any punches
right.
either.
Right.
They want those open borders. They are putting through legislation. There's going to be legislation on immigration coming up in the House, no doubt. Nancy Pelosi will be trying to make this an election issue. And so Donald Trump is going to have someone who's going to march lockstep, who's going to make sure that he reflects the president's priorities and ideals. And Ken Cuccinelli would do a great job at that.
I would also have to think, Congressman Klein, that what you're going to see from the Democratic majority in the House is that they are going to constantly be having these hearings and investigations, and in many ways tying the hands behind the back of whoever is leading the agency, because as you said, they're no longer hiding the fact that they're for open borders, and they're making it intentionally difficult for the president's cabinet secretaries in many cases to do their jobs.
That's right. And you also have a very liberal judiciary in some parts of the country, the Ninth Circuit, for example, who are even arguably more liberal than the liberals in Congress, who aren't held back by the need to get reelected, who essentially are sitting there and can be as liberal as they want to be on these issues and encourage these open border policies and tie the hands of the administration. And then what you have is the House of Representatives, led by Nancy Pelosi, coming in with these hearings where they're going to be picking away at the administration. And, you know, Ken Cuccinelli is a law and order man, so you don't have to worry about, I mean, you will see he will pursue and follow the law and make sure that the laws are being implemented correctly, but also that the policies that the president wants pursued are being pursued. He's gonna push to have those policies changed, those laws changed, to make sure that our system of legal immigration is reformed and that our illegal immigration problem is stopped.
Well, Congressman Klein, one final question for you. As you, from your vantage point, as you see what's happening now in Congress with the new Democratic majority in the House and the challenges on the border for the next secretary, whomever it may be, what would be your suggestions and their recommendation on how they approach this job?
Well, I think that for the next secretary, it's going to be the ability to connect with the American people directly. You need someone who is going to be able to cut through all of the rhetoric from the left that's coming out of the House of Representatives. It's almost a mini bully pulpit that Nancy Pelosi has, where she's going to be pushing this open border doctrine. You need someone who can push back, not just the president. He'll use his bully pulpit, but he can't be focused on this issue all the time. You need somebody who can be focused on this issue, can be focused on solving the illegal immigration problem. Ken Cuccinelli is a fantastic connector. He connects with people. He understands the problems that Americans are facing. He ran for governor. He was a successful attorney general, and he would make a great Secretary of Homeland Security.
I think that's really good advice. I think they do need to be connecting with the American people and not allowing the media to set the narrative of what's happening at the border. Congressman Klein, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Tony, anytime.
All right. Congressman Ben Klein of Virginia. I actually think that's good advice. I do think, and that's what's made the president successful, is that he's circumvented the media and going directly to the people. Now, you just got to make sure your message is the same as the president's. There are some other good candidates being considered. Chris Kobach of Kansas, also potentially in the running for that spot. And I know Chris well as too. He and I served on the RNC, on the GOP platform committee. Good, solid conservative. Ran for governor unsuccessfully in Kansas, but he'd be a good pick as well. But Ken would be solid. All right, when we come back, Congressman Brad Winstrup of Ohio gives us an update on the discharge petition on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. It needs 218 signatures to force a vote on the House floor. Where does it currently stand? He'll give us an update when we return. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, House Minority Whip Steve Scalise, along with Congresswoman Ann Wagner of Missouri, filed a discharge petition to circumvent Democratic leadership that is blocking a floor vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Now, to get this to the floor through the process called a discharge petition, it requires 218 votes, signatures, rather. Once that occurs, then it immediately goes to the floor for floor action. Now, it also requires 218 votes to pass a bill in the Congress. So what this would do, if you've been listening for any amount of time, you know, the legislation would require an infant who survives an attempted abortion to receive medical care. If they're born alive, they should be treated and they should be helped. I think we have almost all the Republicans that have signed on. But here to give us an update on the effort to force this vote to end infanticide in the United States is Congressman Brad Winstrup. He represents the 2nd District of Ohio and serves on the House Ways and Means Committee and the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks. Good to be with you.
Well, give us an update. Where do we stand on the discharge petition?
Well, you know, when we put the discharge petition out, that was April 2nd, I believe. Within the first 24 hours, we had 193 signatures on it, including 2 Democrats. And I think we're going to need about 21 Democrats to force a House vote on this. And so we're going to continue to keep trying to put on pressure. We would hope that it comes from constituents across the country as well, that they try to put pressure on their representatives. You know, speaking as a Catholic, I would bet that there are at least 21 Democrats that list themselves as Catholic yet will not sign on to this. And, you know, as I heard a priest here in D.C. during one of his homilies say, you have to ask yourself, are you a Catholic first or are you a Democrat first? Are you a Catholic first or are you a Republican first? And, you know, all of our laws are based on values. They're based on our values, including our religious values.
Right.
And so when people want to use the excuse, well, you know, I personally feel it's wrong, but I can't argue it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Our laws are based on our values. And that's clearly what our founders did at the very beginning.
I think that is such an important point that we try to make often, is that, you know, as a Christian, you don't have to check your faith at the door. And somehow, because you are pro-life because of your faith, that doesn't disqualify your pro-life standing, which the left suggests that if you arrive at the conclusion or they arrive at your position on public policy because of your faith, somehow your position is negated because of your faith. But you're absolutely right. Everything comes from some value system.
Right. That's what our laws are all about. You know, it was beautiful at the March for Life this year. We had a representative from Louisiana, and she got up there and she said, people say to me, how can you, as an African-American woman and a Democrat, be pro-life? And she said, because I'm a Christian first.
Yeah, that. Right? Yeah, and that's all that we do as believers, whether it's in public policy, whether it's in our job. Scripture is very clear on this. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all unto the glory of God. And so you're absolutely right. And it's refreshing, I think, to our listeners, Brad, to understand that there are a number. In fact, the largest number that I think in modern time that are on Capitol Hill, men and women of faith, who are here motivated out of their faith to stand for what is right. And this is an example of it, standing for the unborn to end this atrocity of infanticide.
It is unbelievable. You know, somebody once said to me, well, I would think that you as a doctor are against that. I said, as a doctor, as a human being, I'm against this infanticide, right? And you know, it's amazing. If you come here from any country in the world and you have a baby in the United States of America, that baby is immediately a U.S. citizen and granted all the rights and privileges and protections of life that a U.S. citizen is granted. But if you are an attempted abortion and it fails, you don't get those rights. It's beyond my imagination.
Yeah, it really is. It logically, it just does not hold. But when it comes to abortion, it seems like logic is thrown out the window. Everything is thrown out the window. There's currently, I think there's 199, Steve Scalise tracking it on his website, but we need to get to 218. So as you pointed out, this is an issue that whether you have a Republican member or a Democratic member of Congress representing you, you need to weigh in on you. They represent you, and you need to speak to them about this, because I think this is a defining issue for America.
I think so, too. And I think that if people are encouraged and motivated about this, please call your representatives and just say, I cannot believe that this is something that you would be okay with, and you want to represent me and speak on my behalf for my life. Because when you disrespect this life, you're disrespecting my life.
Absolutely. Congressman Brad Winstrup, thank you so much for taking a few minutes out to join us today.
Glad to. Thanks for all you're doing. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you as well. Congressman Brad Winstrup of Ohio. Website, TonyPerkins.com. And here's the Capitol switchboard number, and they're in today, tomorrow. They'll be breaking on Thursday and going home for the Easter break for a couple of weeks. Still call them then, but here's the Capitol switchboard number, 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Call them. Tell them to support Scalise's discharge petition on the Born Alive bill. Now, you can also help us send a very strong message. We're one-third of the way with our 90,000 baby hats that we're going to deliver to Nancy Pelosi. You can be a part of that by joining the End Birthday Abortion Campaign. Go to TonyPerkins.com. It's right there at the top of the page. Join with us. Send a message that Nancy Pelosi will see loud and clear. Website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, when we come back, the life issue, was alive and well on the other side of the Capitol, the Senate taking up the issue of the Pain Capable Bill. We'll talk about that with one of FRC's own. Don't go away. We're back after this.
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage of peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, where Tony and leaders on the Hill and other culture influencers weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app. Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. Again, let me give you that Capitol switchboard number, 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. Contact your member of Congress. Now, I would imagine that most of you who listen know who your member of Congress is, but if you don't, not to worry. Call the switchboard, you give them your zip code, and they'll connect you with your member of Congress, and just tell them, you would like to see them support the Scalise discharge petition on the Born Alive bill. All right, you've got to get to 218. We're at 199, 19 signatures away from seeing a vote to end infanticide. Okay, on Capitol Hill today, actually on the other side in the Senate, there was a news conference in favor of the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. This was another bill that basically at 5 months when a child in the womb feels pain, this would eliminate, this would say no more abortion. Now, science makes very clear that babies feel pain. In fact, this bill is being led by Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. Following the hearing, there was a press conference. This is what the senator had to say.
I've introduced legislation with many of my colleagues on this committee on the Republican side. It's called the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. It would provide common sense protections for unborn children at 20 weeks after fertilization, point at which there is significant scientific evidence that abortion inflicts tremendous pain on the unborn child.
Well, at the press conference today was FRC's own Petrina Mosley. She is the Director of Life, Culture, and Women's Advocacy here, and she joins me in studio. Petrina, welcome.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Well, you've been doing a lot out there on the life issue, but you spoke at the press conference today. Give me a sense of the support that is there for this bill. I mean, we're talking about something that when science shows that a child feels pain at 5 months, I know it's called the 20-week bill. I like the 5 months bill because we're talking about a baby that's 5 months old,
right,
in the womb. So is there a sense that support is growing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the support is already there. We've seen numerous polling that shows Americans do not support abortion after 20 weeks. So it's just a matter of getting this done. We already have the scientific knowledge to know that a child feels pain even before 20 weeks, but we're saying at least 20 weeks where we know pain receptors have already filled the child's body from head to toe. We know that that happens by 20 weeks. Can we at least say that such a brutal practice of dismembering a child limb by limb should be outlawed? Can we at least say that? What's interesting is that there's been some videos going around on social media that shows the depiction of what happens in an abortion. It's a two-minute video. And immediately, this passerby's mind was convinced that this is something that cannot be allowed to happen. But yet, putting protections in place has taken 6 years. We've been debating this bill for 6 years now.
Of course, many states have passed legislation like this. Now, Patrina, I understand that the prenatal medicine now treats unborn babies as young as 18 weeks. Now, we're talking 20 weeks, but 18 weeks for dozens of conditions. Mm-hmm. And pain medication for unborn patients is routinely administered as standard medical practice. So we're talking about, you know, they know these babies feel pain. And so right. when they're doing these surgeries, prenatal right. surgeries, they're giving them anesthesia.
Right. Northam says, you know, well, if the mother has a baby, if she wants to keep it, it can lay there on the table or keep it comfortable. Here we see the standard medical practice is keeping a child comfortable by administering anesthesia so that as they're getting the treatment that they need, they're not feeling pain. This is common medical practice that has been practiced for decades now, and they can feel pain even before that. And that's the point we're trying to make, is that even at 18 weeks, 20 weeks post-fertilization, can we at least say this is a barbaric tactic to end a child's life?
And there's not many countries that actually allow abortion this late. In fact, if you look at some of the countries that do allow this, North Korea,
shameful,
China.
Yeah.
I mean, is this really the Gang of Seven that we want to be in?
Not the kind of friends I want to be hanging with. Right. And they have restrictions. Other countries that do have restrictions have them at least at 12 weeks. So we're saying at least 20.
Right. So, I mean, America, you know, it's interesting when you look at this issue of abortion. If you listen to the pro-abortion side, America is so restrictive that, you know, we are doing all these laws and such. But when you look at this from a global perspective, America is one of the least restrictive, unfortunately, when it comes to abortion.
Yeah, we're definitely the most progressive when it comes to that. We have had a legacy, unfortunately, of eugenics in this country that has succeeded in keeping restrictions very, very low, as we know. So we should be taking the lead now more than ever with such a pro-life friendly administration in office. Now is the time to move forward with doing what's right.
Patrina, do you see a coming crack within a fracture within the Democratic Party on this? They've been pretty much lockstep with one another, advocating for the most extreme abortion position.
You know what? I don't know, but the power's with the American people, and they need to show up 2020 to let them know who's the boss.
All right, Patrina Mosley, thank you so much for being here, and thank you for being at the press conference earlier today.
Thank you.
All right, folks, you can find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can follow the links over to FRC. Lots of resources there on the website as it pertains to the life issue. All right, when we come back, we're going to have a conversation. I want to know what you think. Who would make the best Secretary of Homeland Security? Got your thoughts? Got your favorite? What message would you like to send to the president on that front? I'm going to talk to you next. 800-866-372-7234. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com. Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
So glad to have you with us. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, here's what we want to talk about. The president going to be searching for a new Secretary of Homeland Security. Who would you like to see fill that role? Give me a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. We weren't talking about this today, but just for those that are tracking what's happening in Israel, the election there, too close to call. Benny Gantz challenging Benjamin Netanyahu, the current prime minister, who's vying for a fifth term as prime minister. Basically, the way the works over there with their parliamentarian system, looks like they're almost tied neck and neck with 60 seats. So still too close to call. We'll see who can put together a coalition government. It's going to be very interesting. Personally, I hope that Benjamin Netanyahu can hold on and form another government. I think he's done well there. And anyway, we'll probably be talking about that tomorrow when we have a better picture of the outcome. 866-372-7234. Who would make the best selection for Secretary of Homeland Security? The president's going to be choosing a replacement. Who do you think it should be? Let's go to Phyllis in Kansas. Phyllis, welcome to Washington Watch.
Oh, hi. I have followed Chris Kobach for many years now, and I'm part of the Flint Hills Tea Party in Manhattan, Kansas, although I live in Olathe. But we know what kind of a guy he is, and felt like we got robbed on the governor's race. But Chris Kobach knows his stuff.
He does. I think he would be a good choice. I know him as well as Ken Cuccinelli quite well. As I mentioned earlier, I served on the platform committee with Chris Kobach as he was Secretary of State there in Kansas. Solid conservative, great guy. The president, it'd be a good pick. be a solid pick, no question about it. Phyllis, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you weighing in today.
Thank you.
866-372-7234. Who would you like to see as the next Homeland Security Secretary? Tough job. I will tell you, it's going to be a tough job. Let's go to Rick in Baton Rouge. Rick, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Sheriff Joe Appiah has an excellent track record of enforcing immigration, even when it wasn't his job to do so. Nobody else does. He's got a perfect track record of enforcing immigration. So, hands down, he's better than everybody else combined to enforce immigration.
Yeah, he certainly has a track record there, and is strong. I mean, he's what we call back in Louisiana, he's stronger than a garlic milkshake. I mean, he knows how to get it done. Challenge you'll have is getting confirmed. Of course, I think anybody President Trump picks is going to have a difficult time getting confirmed. That's solid. I mean, the president just meets resistance at every turn. But that should not in any way deter him from making the best pick. Rick, thanks so much for listening and for calling in. Let's move on. 866-372-7234. Weigh in. Give us your thoughts. Who would make the best Homeland Security Secretary? Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Your previous callers stole a couple of my picks. Cuccinelli, Kobach, and Arpaio would be great. I would also throw some other names in the hat. Someone from one of the border states there, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, or California. Rick Perry is doing such a great job as Secretary of Energy. I wouldn't pull him off. Yeah. We need Ted Cruz in the Senate, so we can't pull him off. So Dr. Kelly Ward in Arizona or someone else in one of the border states there. Like you said, your previous callers took three of my picks. But there's definitely some good candidates out there. Thanks for all you do. God bless you.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for weighing in. You know, that's a good point, picking someone from one of the border states that has had to deal with this. Yeah, I mean, I think you think of Texas, obviously, a state that's had to deal with this quite a bit. Rick Perry has done a really good job as energy secretary. He also did a good job as governor. He could be a good pick, and I think because he's done such a good job as Secretary of Energy, I think there would be no reason to not to confirm him. So strategically, it could be a good pick. Maybe not as tough as a fighter, but I do think, going back to my earlier point, that whoever the pick is, it's got to be someone who is in lockstep with the president on the immigration issue, because they're going to need the president's unwavering support, because they're going to get beat up by Congress, by the media, and they're just going to have to, there just can't be any daylight between them and the president. And I think that was a part of Secretary Nielsen's challenge, is that, you know, she was really not his pick from the beginning. You know, she replaced General Kelly, who went into the White House as chief of staff. She was his deputy. She took over. I think she, you know, I think it was a difficult job. I think she did well. And people I know over there at Homeland Security who worked directly with her said she was a no-nonsense, hardworking, get-it-done person. It's just this is a really, really big challenge. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Louise in Virginia. Louise, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Yes. Here in Richmond, we firmly believe that our Ken Cuccinelli would be a perfect pick. He was an excellent, excellent attorney general here, and he's firm. He will not budge.
That
he'll
is true.
Stand. He's firm, and that's what we need, someone that will stand firmly. And I believe that he would be the perfect one for that job.
Well, Louise, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate that, and I'm going to make sure Ken hears that, because it's good to know that he's got some enthusiastic supporters there in Richmond. And I do know that the president likes Ken Cuccinelli. I've been in a number of meetings with the president, with Ken. And Ken, even though It's interesting. Ken was very big behind Ted Cruz in the presidential because actually we worked closely together in a process of trying to bring conservatives together behind a candidate, and Ted ended up being that candidate in the primary. But then, you know, some of us, when we saw that after Ted dropped out and there was a choice between Hillary and Donald Trump, began making that transition. So Ken's got a good relationship with him. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Bill in Alabama. Bill, welcome to Washington Watch. Bill,
we
you there?
Need Rudy Giuliani. I'm right here.
All right.
Hello.
I got you. Rudy Giuliani. That would be an interesting pick.
Yeah, because of the way he handled those New York problems, you know, putting the police where they needed to be and stuff. And he's a no-nonsense guy, too.
He is, and very strategic in that sense. He cleaned up New York City when he was mayor there. So, yeah, I think he would be another good pick if he would do it. I think he was offered some posts within the administration, and it's so difficult to untangle yourself from business deals and finances. I don't think he wanted to go in, but there's no question if he wanted to do it that he would he too would be a good option for the president. Bill, thanks so much for calling and weighing in. Let's go to Nebraska, where Calvin is on the line. Calvin, who's your pick?
I'd like to see Chris Kobach actually get the nominee.
Have you watched Chris for a while?
Yeah, we were involved with the campaign down in Kansas. Was really hoping he'd have got the governorship, and was a little disappointed that didn't happen. But I'd love to see him in the administration. I think he'd do a good job.
Yeah. No, I agree. The president couldn't go wrong with Chris either. Calvin, thanks so much for listening and calling in. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Jose in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Jose, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I think Michelle Bachmann will make a great pick for Homeland Security. She's very sharp, and she's been on several committees that I think qualify her for that job.
No question. Actually, she's not one that came to mind, and I've been pushing her for a number of other spots. She would
yes.
Look, Michelle would be good at anything, especially something that requires a tough person. She's as tough as nails. She is unflinching, unyielding. She would be a solid pick as well. Jose, thanks so much for calling and weighing in. And by the way, she served on the House Intelligence Committee. She knows what's going on. Very smart tax attorney. I thought she'd be good as the commissioner of the IRS, cleaning up that cesspool over there. But she'd be good at anything. And that's a good thing about the president really does have a deep bench of potential candidates to serve in many capacities, but this one in particular, but several different slots that he needs to fill. The problem is getting them confirmed through the Senate. You know, you've only got 54 Republicans. You've got to get all the Republicans to stick together. And some of them are kind of wobbly, weak-kneed. So you got to have all of them, and then you're going to have these campaigns on the left against a solid conservative. And that's why, folks, it's so important to speak up and speak out on behalf of, the president's cabinet members who come under attack unjustifiably. For instance, I know maybe you saw it last week. I had a piece on FoxNews.com in defense of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who came under attack because of his Christian faith. And they just said, well, can he be the top diplomat because he's a Christian? And, we have to, first off, we can't believe everything we hear in the mainstream media. They're not trying to tell the truth about the president and conservatives. They're trying to bring them down. The media has become a part of the opposition party. So be discerning in who you listen to and where you get your news. It's one of the reasons I bring you the newsmakers. You hear from them yourself. I don't edit what they say. You hear them, and you can make up your mind. But then we also need to stand up and defend those who are attacked. I mean, we need to do. You need to push back against those who are constantly attacking the president. You know, speak up in your circle of influence. This president has a track record of doing more in advancing constitutional principles and conservative ideals than any president in my lifetime. And we shouldn't be hesitant to say that. All right, we're going to work in a couple more calls here. Let's go to Leah in Texas. Leah, welcome to Washington Watch.
I do like the suggestion of Ms. Bachman, but I was thinking that Gohmert, a representative here in Texas, would be good. Somebody from Texas who knows the problems that we have here at the border in our state would be wonderful. And he is a man of convictions, a strong man of integrity. I think he would be wonderful.
No doubt Louis is he's a strong leader. Would be a good pick, too. He's first district there in Texas, up in the northern part of Texas, northeastern portion of Texas. Great guy, often a frequent guest on the program. So let's go to New Mexico, where Randy is on the line. Randy, your pick?
I'm picking for Representative Steve Pierce. Steve has been a long-time District 2, which is all across the New Mexico-Mexico border.
Yeah.
He's been a Vietnam fighter pilot, and he's the man for the job.
He's a good guy, good guy. So, again, the president's got a lot of options out there. Randy, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you weighing in on that. 866-37, well, I don't know. I think I'll be I'm filled with the remainder of the calls. I don't want to leave anybody holding. Let's go to Joan in Texas. Joan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thank you for taking my call. All those suggestions are excellent. I personally like Louis Gohmert where he is, though, because I think he's really very helpful to Texas where he is. And Michelle Bachman, I really would like to see her with the IRS because that place. Organized crime in the IRS and places, I'm sure. But I really do like Ken Cuccinelli. He is a strong, solid person. I like his views on just about anything he has taken a stand on. He stays there. He's not easily moved with opinions and bad press. He's just
right.
I'm just amazed when I listen. First of all, thank you for your show, too, because I get so much good, solid information on the Republicans. I have totally discontinued all of my TV. I don't watch that anymore. I'm tired of hearing problems. I'm ready for solutions.
That's right.
So I appreciate what we get from you guys.
Well, thank you, Joan. I appreciate that. Thanks so much for calling and weighing in. I agree with you. I think Ken would be a great pick as well. Well, folks, you know what that music means. It means our time together is up for today, but Lord willing, we'll both be back tomorrow. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.